The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 304. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We open mainly with the Jets because as ugly as both teams played and as disastrous as both organizations are, the Jets at least heading into the game had some hope, some faith. They were favored in the game to actually, you know, get to four wins and start building things. You saw the Broncos. I know the Giants are favored as well. Bigger favorites, I know. Ended up being 6.5, which was easy decision, thankfully. But I mean, they were against, you know, on the road against a Cardinals team with a, you know, a winning season here and solid play. The Jets, with their season still alive, went in and absolutely crapped the bed. The New York Giants did what they do and had one of the more ugly disasters. I mean, that first half, I mean, to be losing 10-0 at the half, to go all the way to Germany, I mean, to go all the way to Germany to play the Carolina Panthers, who are without question, you know, heading into this game, the worst team in the NFL. And when Bryce Young plays, they are certainly the worst team in the NFL. I mean, it took an injury to Dalton, a car accident, for Bryce Young to get back in as a starting quarterback. And this team showed up and allowed, I mean, we talk about the defense of the Jets. This New York Giants defense, who at one time, a couple weeks ago, was leading the NFL in sacks, is getting zero pass rush. And this Carolina running attack, Chuba Hubbard just absolutely 28 carries, 153 yards. He ran it right down their throat, and it was obvious from the jump of this game what was going to happen. And you watch, I mean, the defensive performance against this Carolina Panthers team is atrocious. Is atrocious. Whether it's obviously Hubbard running down their throat, whether it's the letting Bryce Young make a big play on third down at the end of the game. It still gave them an opportunity to get the ball back and go down and tie it up. But like, these are plays that Young doesn't make. This is an offense that is awful. This is the worst defense in the league who you allowed to be, who shut you out in the first half. I mean, this Giant team is an absolute joke. And I'm sorry. This was the best case scenario, was losing this game. I wanted it all week, so I'm happy it happened, but still watching it is so impossible to watch. And Daniel Jones, and again, I know it's not always just about Daniel Jones. I don't want to make it just about Daniel Jones, but my goodness, he is awful. And you can hear, like, now they're going to finally, Dable says they're going to evaluate the quarterback position, like, after defending him forever. And he even took blame on the flea flicker as some sort of, well, I wish I had that one back. I don't know if I love the play call. The play call worked. Like, that's what you watch these games. You watch Daniel Jones play from early on. He's got neighbors for a first down on the first drive. I don't know what will happen from it. I don't know what happens from that point on. But he's got neighbors in a clean pocket, stepped into the throw, and sailed it 10 feet over his head. Like, every time, he is incapable of getting the ball down the field. And they make play calls for him, the flea flicker. And the offense was working. Like, the run game, Tracy, I know he fumbles at the end of the game to cost him, and thankfully he did that. But, like, Tracy, 18 carries, 103 yards, and a touchdown, and a long touchdown run. The inability to do anything in the red zone is still laughable from this team. Turnovers, missed field goals, you get Gano back, great. I mean, they are just an absolute disaster on every level. And Daniel Jones, I'm sorry, I can't watch him anymore. Like, why is he still the quarterback? He should have been benched at the half. And Dable's asked, did you even consider benching him at halftime? No, I didn't consider. Why? Did you watch the game and how bad he was in this game? And I'm listening, and I love Paul Dottino, but this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. I turn on the post game, and I don't know if it was the first segment or second segment, but he's talking about how good Daniel Jones was the last drive of the fourth quarter to tie the game, and I'm like, what? If Daniel Jones was a somewhat decent, capable quarterback, this game is a rout. The Giants win this game easy. He's incapable of throwing the ball down the field. He's incapable of throwing with pressure in his face. He's incapable. He is dragging this franchise down. He's dragging this coach down. And that's my fear. And I'll be honest, because I know the coach is going to get a lot of grief right now, and we're going to have a big-time discussion about it. And to be fair, I said the same thing about Robert Saleh. I'm well aware of my record on this. I'm open to the idea I'm wrong. Because I thought the same thing about Robert Saleh. Now, Robert Saleh never made the playoffs. Brian Daboll did. Robert Saleh clearly never won a playoff game because he didn't make the playoffs. Brian Daboll did. I put a lot of the blame of Robert Saleh at the feet of Zach Wilson and every other stinking quarterback he had during his tenure, because it's impossible to win in the NFL when you have that level of quarterback play. Now, again, I think they would have been better off not firing him, but I can't stand here and tell you Robert Saleh is a good head coach. Looking at what I'm looking at now, I do believe that Brian Daboll can be a good head coach in this league. I think for one magical year, he was able to get the best out of Daniel Jones, playing an easy schedule, and just before the defenses could adjust to it, he was looking for his one read. If it wasn't there, he was tucking and running it. You had, obviously, a great running back in Saquon Barkley, and they scored just enough points to make it work, and then got hot and played well the last couple games of the year. I do think he can be a good head coach in this league. The quarterback is dragging him down. Daniel Jones is dragging down the franchise. There's no other way to put it. Did they do it to themselves? Did they break him? Did they bring in bad coach after? Did they have his good rookie year with Pat Shurmur and then give him Joe Judge? Absolutely. Absolutely. There are a million, the offensive line and the inability to fix it, the coaching, give him Garrett for his offensive coordinator. Like, there are a bunch of reasons why Daniel Jones is what he is. But it doesn't change the fact that he is what he is. And watching him play, watching him throw short, late, and behind on a 1 yard out when it's 3rd and 7, for an interception. Like that, I can't take it. I can't take it. I can't watch him. And the flea flicker is the perfect example, and the pictures are everywhere on social media. When you watch it, yes, eventually he has pressure in him. This is the NFL. You're going to have pressure in your face. He's got two, Wandell Robinson, and you could see how upset Wandell Robinson is. You can see how frustrated Brian Daboll is. Like, he is holding them back. That is a big play. And as Kurt Warner was saying so eloquently and perfectly, he's now my favorite analyst on TV, because he said it exactly right. Over the course of the game, you will watch much like the touchdown drive, the field goal drive, rather, at the end of the game to tie it. Daniel Jones is capable of making plays here or there. He is not completely inept. He's not the worst thing I've ever seen at the quarterback position. He's capable of making a play here or there. But when it comes down to the big moments, when it comes down to consistency, when it comes down to making big plays down the field, Daniel Jones doesn't have it in him. He does not go down the field. He does not see open receivers. He multiple throws in this game. He has a clean pocket, steps into him, and sails them. He is an awful quarterback dragging this team down. And he is incapable of playing winning football. Incapable. And if he, I'm telling you right now, I still believe in this coach. I feel less confident in the GM, but I believe they're a tag team. And I do... I will hang on to this until it's no longer feasible to hang on to, or it doesn't matter because they're gone. They were brought here because of what happened in Buffalo, because they took on the project. They believed in Allen. They drafted him. And Brian Daboll developed, without question, was the biggest project in the draft. And they turned him into Josh Allen. A lot of Josh Allen has to do with the coaching of Brian Daboll. I believe in Brian Daboll and his ability to work with a young quarterback. He got the best out of Daniel Jones for that 1 year. That's all he could do. And I do want to see him and this group develop and draft a young quarterback who could possibly change the franchise. And I keep getting it left and right. Oh, it doesn't matter where you draft. You can pick anyone. Oh, the Giants aren't a quarterback away. I know, the Giants aren't a quarterback away. The Washington Commanders weren't just a quarterback away. The Houston Texans weren't just a quarterback away until they were. Until they were. It changes everything. It uplifts everything. Like, it's like they're better off trying to build an entire roster and then hope they find the quarterback. It's flawed thinking. And now I agree. This draft isn't as good as last draft. I understand. And Sanders and Ward at the top of this draft aren't the same as Williams and Daniels. I get it. But I need them to have the option to draft that quarterback, or I need them to have the option of trading for someone who does believe in that quarterback and getting more picks. No matter how you put it, losing games is in their benefit. And the only thing that kills next year is allowing Daniel Jones to be the quarterback, which would happen if he gets hurt. He can never see the field again. I respect him. He's a tough son of a gun. He should never take a snap for the New York Giants again. Anything else is flat-out malpractice. And I want Daboll back, and I want Joe Shane back. But if Daniel Jones is allowed to start again, there are two things. One of two things. If Daniel Jones is starting in 2 weeks, if Daniel Jones ever sees the field again for the New York Giants, there are two options. One, the coach and GM are completely inept and they're morons and I'm wrong and they need to be fired. Or two, the owner is pulling the strings, insisting that they play the quarterback, and in which case, then what's the point? Fire them anyway. Like, honestly, if Daniel Jones is on the field again for the New York Giants, then blow everything up, because it's the most idiotic decision that they could possibly make, and I wouldn't have belief in anyone surrounding it. I wouldn't have belief that this GM and coach have enough standing in the organization to make their own decisions, in which case, bye, or they're absolute morons who believe trying to win these games or playing Daniel Jones is somehow in their best interest, in which case, you're morons, goodbye. So if Daniel Jones sees the field, no matter what the reasoning, I don't want the coach and GM. They're either completely inept or they are being told what to do by the owner, in which case, they'll be told on who to draft, and I don't need them. I don't need them. He doesn't believe in them anymore, so what's the point? I can't change the owner. He's going to be here. So either the owner is making decisions, and then I don't care who the GM and coach are, or these two morons are inept if Daniel Jones sees the field. That's it. We are done with Daniel Jones. It's not all his fault. I don't hate him. I don't take pleasure in this. It's just, and in fact, as much as, you know, this is probably more of an even a damning statement. If it wasn't for the clause in his contract, the injury clause in his contract, I wouldn't bench him because he's that bad that he's costing them games and I want to lose. It actually would make sense to keep him in there if there wasn't an injury clause. But I can't see him anymore and he can't be part of this team next year, and there's only one way that happens. It's over. The New York Giants season is over. The Daniel Jones experiment is over. And I don't care if they win. I don't care. Lose every stinking game. It doesn't carry over. It doesn't mean anything. Go get the young quarterback. That means something. Go change the franchise. That means something. Meaningless wins against the you know, going to, what, go beat Dallas on Thanksgiving? That'll make everybody's Thanksgiving great. You know, you're gonna, the turkey's gonna slide down better if they beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Who gives a damn? Who cares? We're gonna take pride in a Thanksgiving Day win. Who cares? The minute it's over, I'm gonna go, oh yeah, that's right, they're 3-9. Let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. Eric in Brooklyn. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac, I just want to say, like, you and I are both New York Giants and New York Yankees fans, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, like, say, like, I appreciate you're usually, like, optimistic, you know? You're, like, the last guy to be, like, fire Cashman, fire Shane.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, anyway.
But, I mean,
feeling,
just to be fair, though, the Yankees
right now.
Are so
I'm depressed
much.
Right now.
Yeah, good. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, no, of course I'm depressed. I hate every second of this. I hate every second of watching that game wanting to lose because it's the worst of both worlds. Because I want them to lose, but while I'm watching them lose, I'm getting pissed off.
Like, I have this hypothetical, you know? Like, I'm a Yankees fan, but genuinely I like the Yankees are in it every year. And like, as a Giants fan, I'm like so thankful that I got to see, I'm 30, I got to see two
unbelievable championships
in my lifetime, you know?
Yep. As like, good as any.
Like,
as good
like
as
not
any.
Not a lot of NFL fans get to get that, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
But I would trade that. This last decade, I don't care about NFL at all. I don't even watch Giants games most of the time, honestly. Like, I don't pay attention to Patrick Mahomes. I don't care about any of this. I would trade that 2011 championship to be like the Yankees where we're in it every year, you know? I'm wondering, like, what do you think about that? Would you do that? I don't know.
Eric, I think you're in the minority. And specifically for those two championships for the New York Giants, I wouldn't trade beating the undefeated Patriots for anything. Like, it is still about championships. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if I would trade championships for sustained winning. But, yeah, that's what you're looking for. Like, moving forward. Like, if you told me in the next 10 years... you can't guarantee me the outcome of the game necessarily, but over the next 10 years, they'll have two pop-up seasons where they're playing at least in the NFC Championship game, or they'll be a playoff team every year over the next 10 years, and you take your chances. Like, I want to be winning. I want to give myself as many chances to win it. I want to be a winning team and count on that year in and year out, no doubt. But I can't go and take away championships or trade them. And not that that's an even, you know, real conversation. I understand your point. Here's the point, though. Like, whether or not you get pop-up championships like the two Giants, and let's be fair, that even with Eli Manning, like, New York Giant fans, you have not seen sustained winning, a good team year in and year out, a winning playoff team year in and year out, a 10, 11, 12-win team year in and year out forever, my entire lifetime. You have to go back to the mid-'80s and 90s and early and 1990. Like, even the Eli Manning era, he never won a playoff game outside of the 2 years they won a championship. And don't get me wrong, it's worth it. Whatever the era was, however it went, two championships are what you're looking for. It's just most of the time, you got to get to the playoffs 10 times to win two championships. You got to win a lot to get the two championships. You got to put yourself in the mix to win the two championships. This Giant team and under Eli Manning just happened to go on these two crazy runs while even, you know, even they're a wild card team. They didn't win the division back to back. Like, they never were that great team year in and year out, even with Eli Manning, where you know they're going to win 10 to 12 games, compete for the division, be a playoff team for sure, and be a threat inside the playoffs. That's just not who they were. We have not seen the likes of, like, the obviously the Patriots, or Peyton Manning with the Colts, or Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers, or now obviously Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, or just sustained winning. That's what I want. That's my dream for the New York Giants. Of course it's about championships. That's the best way to get them. That's why I want it. I want that. I'm a good team year in and year out. I know it. Like, that's what's going to happen now with the Washington Commanders. Brace yourself, Giant fans. The years of beating up on Washington is over. They're going to be a good team competing for this division, winning 10, 11 games every single year because of that quarterback. That's it. That's what happens. They'll change the line. They'll change his weapons. They'll change this. They'll change the coach, maybe. They'll change that. Doesn't matter. They're going to win 10 games a year, especially with this 17-game schedule, because of the quarterback. That's what I want. That's what I want. And I hired a coach specifically because he developed one. Like, there's nothing else. What, the years he worked with Belichick and, you know, in New England? Like, what else got him hired? What got him hired is he turned Josh Allen into one of the better quarterbacks in the sport. That's what got him hired. And we're sitting here and we're forcing Daniel Jones down his throat. We're watching him call a successful play. He took the play call back in the postgame. I have no idea why. That was a successful play call, the flea flicker. It worked. He's got two guys running absolutely free, 30, 40 yards down the field. That's a give me in the NFL. That's a huge play in the NFL. That's, you can't ask for more. The quarterback can't make it. The quarterback can't make the easy plays. Kenny in Newark. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how you feeling, man? You know, bad day for the Giants today.
Yeah,
bad day.
I think so.
Yeah, they showed, you know, a little bit of gusto with this, the play call. And I liked the play call, and we was in the red zone twice. And this guy can't make a pass.
No, I know.
He
throws
two interceptions.
Yeah, in the red zone twice isn't anything to get excited about. I mean, they're playing the worst defense in the league. They're playing the Carolina Panthers. And not that you're wrong necessarily, Kenny. I'm not trying to get on you. But just the idea that that's where the Giants are. That you're going, hey, they were in the red zone twice. Like, right. It's the Carolina Panthers.
Exactly. And it's killing me to see this play. It's killing me to see this play.
It makes you sick.
I was sick. I was screaming. I was yelling. I was livid. I couldn't believe it. And I just want to see Dane Jones out of there.
He's got to get him out of there.
We need to move forward. Keep Daboll. We need to move forward and get the draft.
Well, listen, that's all that you can do. And again, yeah, I mean, you said it was a bad day for the Giants. It ended up being a good one. They need to be the worst team in the league this year. It is better to bottom out. Winning these games mean nothing. It means absolutely nothing. They were better off losing. Tracy had a great game. Tracy ran the ball well. He ran for 100 yards, and then he gave the Giants exactly what they needed, a loss. And I know that sucks, and I hate saying it, and I know I'm being a little bit facetious here and having a little bit of fun with it, but it doesn't change my opinion. It's what needs to happen. They benefited from losing this game more than they would have if they won it. It's almost inarguable. Like, you almost can't argue it. There is a legitimate, tangible reward for losing the games. There's nothing for winning them. Nothing. Nothing. It's over. They're terrible. They're not going anywhere. Losing the game at least gives them an advantage that now, if they even finish with the same record as the Carolina Panthers, they're going to get the better pick. Why would I want anyone to have a better pick than the New York Giants this year? That's it. It's about the future. Get rid of Daniel Jones, bench him so he's sure to stay healthy and finish the season healthy, and then you can move on from him in his contract. Go out and get the best draft pick you can. Even if you don't believe in the quarterback, I would take a chance on one of them. I think that's the NFL. Get Brian Daboll to work on which one he wants, bring him in, and try and change this organization. But even if you don't draft a quarterback, even if it's a new regime, even if Daboll and Shane get fired and it doesn't matter, you know, they don't have the quarterback whisperer and it's just about great talent. And if the stud quarterback was there, great. If not, they'll pick someone else or whatever. Like, even then, give me the best pick I can have. Move down in the draft and acquire as many picks as I can. I need to change this entire freaking team. Like, there is no benefit to winning these games. I don't understand the pushback on this. Daniel Jones needs to be benched. The season is over. And ultimately, coming out of yesterday, as frustrating as it is, as impossible as it is to watch, as damning as that flea flicker play is and the inability of Daniel Jones and sailing the first one over his head and the fumble, the missed kick, the interceptions, all the disastrous things that happened over the course of that game, I wouldn't trade any of them because ultimately what needed to happen happened. The Giants lost a football game to the other worst team in the NFL, and now they have a leg up come April, which is all that matters for this team right now. That's it. I'm tired of hearing, oh, you know, last year we heard it up and down about, oh, you can't trade Saquon Barkley. You can't do that. This team will fall apart. Let it fall. What are we standing on? Let it fall. Let it fall, crater, and burn. What's the difference? You think you're building on something next year? You're not. Oh, wins in the NFL are precious. Yeah. They're precious. I know. I'm a Giants fan. I know how hard they are to come by year in and year out. I'm done. The season's over. No one's going to pay attention. They're irrelevant. We're going to have today, maybe tomorrow. And then we're going to stop talking about the New York Giants. When they make the decision on Daniel Jones, they're going to go into hibernation for a week. No one's going to talk about him. They'll make a decision on Daniel Jones. We'll all talk about that, whether good, bad, or indifferent. They'll play one more lousy game. We'll probably get on that. And then we'll just focus on, you know, we'll be full swing into free agency in Major League Baseball. The winter meetings will be here in December. We'll get to the holidays. We'll start thinking about the postseason. We'll get into our fantasy football playoffs. And that's all we'll care about. And the Giants will go fade away. And that happens year in and year out. Whether they win or lose, they will fade away. So why win?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 3:35, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, you know, this is right now. The New York Giants are 2-8. And along with the Jacksonville Jaguars, the only 2-8 teams. Now, there are other two-win teams. They've had byes, and Miami plays tonight and already had their bye. But Tennessee is 2-7. Cleveland 2-7. Las Vegas 2-7. Dolphins are 2-6 playing tonight. And then you got New England, the Jets, New Orleans, Carolina, Dallas, all with three wins. The Giants' path to the number one overall pick is all that matters. And I don't take pleasure in saying that. It's just a fact. That's all that is left. That's what you want, whether it is to take a quarterback, whether it's to get better play, whether it's to trade down to someone who does believe in the quarterback and get more picks. And like, there's, until they change the rules and sign me up, I'll sign to change the rules and still a lottery so that this doesn't matter and I don't have to yell about tanking. I'm cool with that. But there's literally no benefit to winning other than you want to watch your team win on Sunday. And that may be, you know, for a franchise, ticket sales or whatever else, you know, if they can go on a run and create false belief, maybe they'll sell more tickets or whatever else. I don't know. Neighbors gets hot and, you know, scores a bunch of touchdowns and wins a few games and you could sell more jerseys. I don't know. But as far as actually helping this team moving forward, there is no benefit to winning. There's only benefits to losing. And that sucks. And I don't like the system. But until they change it, that's it. And right now, I want the top overall pick, and they are poised right now after losing to Carolina. They are poised for that number one pick. And, you know, me and Fliegelman just talked about it, and he mentioned this. Like, a previous caller was like, oh, you can find quarterbacks. There's, you know, Allen was later in the draft, obviously. Lamar Jackson could possibly be back-to-back MVP here. He was drafted as the last pick in the first round. You know, Patrick Mahomes was 10th or 11th or whatever it was. And like, yeah, that's true. Theoretically, you could find the quarterback later in the draft. One, that was a draft that had a bunch of quarterbacks in it. I know Patrick Mahomes was the year before, but still, like, that draft had a bunch of quarterbacks in it. But here's the thing. In that draft, with those quarterbacks, you had to be lucky. Right? The Bills had to be lucky. If the Cardinals knew what they were doing instead of drafting Rosen, they drafted Josh Allen, right? He was before him. Yeah, if they drafted Allen instead of Rosen, we wouldn't be having this conversation about Buffalo. I thought Rosen was earlier. Maybe I'm wrong. But no, he was. They traded up to 7 in front of the Cardinals. All right, Baker, Darnold. Like, if they took the wrong quarterback, if Sam Darnold was waiting for them there, then they wouldn't have Josh Allen. Like, I want to give Brian Daboll and this team, if it is Joe Shane Daboll, the best opportunity to draft the player they believe in. Why? Literally, just having the pool of players as big as possible with as many talented players in it as possible is a benefit, right? Even if you think it's a minimal one, explain to me. Like, I heard the promo from Sal a bunch. Well, what's, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, what's the, what the draft's a crapshoot? What does losing get you? What does winning get you? Like, that's the thing. Losing, all right, yes, it helps you in a crapshoot. It gives you a pick higher, two picks higher. Ultimately, it's a crapshoot. You could easily pick the wrong guy, and it would all be a disaster. That's all true. But at least, like, what am I supposed to do? Win and hope I luck into the right pick? Is that really what we should do? Win as many games as possible so that your fans can what exactly? Enjoy it? If they would have won today, would you feel better? Honestly, would you feel any better? Would you feel better about this Giants season? Do you care? Did you forget about it the second the final whistle blew and you moved on to the rest of the games? You started your 1 o'clock games or doing whatever you did? Did it really bother you all that much? Unless you made the trip to Germany and had to watch that slop. Otherwise, you move on with your day because the season's already over. There's nothing to beat yourself up about. There's nothing to get upset about. There's no, someone tweeted at me, oh, because I talk about how after bad losses, I go to a dark room and just sit by myself. I didn't need a dark room. I could have went and played laser tag the second this thing was over. Who gives a damn? It's over. I don't understand the thought process. Whatever it is, whoever's making the decision, whatever quarter position they're looking for, there is a distinct advantage and a tangible benefit to losing these games. There is none to winning them. And I can't watch Daniel Jones again. Plain and simple. Stu in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
I can't agree with you more, but why didn't they do it before?
They should have.
Why didn't they do it a little bit earlier, Chris?
They should have. Daniel Jones should not be playing for weeks now. It makes no sense. I'm totally with you. Daniel Jones should have never played this game. I don't know the condition of that field. I don't know. Like, I don't want him traveling to. I just don't. I wouldn't have played him at all, and they would have been better off.
Because they believe in the coach, and yeah, I still believe in Brian Daboll, but the thing is, they didn't draft Daniel Jones. That was Dave Gettleman.
Yes.
And the thing is, Dave Gettleman left them a slop, except for Saquon Barkley.
And Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas.
Yeah. And even in 19, they should never have drafted Saquon with the number 2 pick.
100% agree with you. Yep, that was terrible pick. The Saquon Barkley pick was a terrible pick. Not because he's a terrible player. He's a great player. Didn't help him. Like, we literally, he was with the Giants for 6 years, right? Didn't matter. They made the playoffs once. They were miserable every other year, and not just, like, bad, miserable for every other year. Now he's with a decent team in the Eagles, and I don't even want to call them a great team. They're a decent team. And Micah Parsons going on his podcast saying, great, thanks, Giants. Now the whole league's paying. That's what's going on here. A great, talented player with the New York Giants is irrelevant. I'm happy he's a Giant. I don't have to worry about him because he's a Giant. They can't win. They're the Giants. They're awful. Oh, thanks a lot, Giants, letting him go to Philadelphia. Now the whole league's paying for it. That's the perception around the league. That's what Michael Parsons is telling you. Oh, they didn't have faith in him. Sure, that's part of it. Oh, because that's what he said. He said, oh, they didn't show faith in him. They should have paid him and not the quarterback. And now the whole league's paying for their mistake. Yeah. He was here. Do we not remember? He was a Giant. He didn't make the league pay for nothing. They came in free of charge and beat the Giants' ass over and over again. That's not his fault. I'm not blaming Saquon Barkley. He did his best. He's their best player. But it didn't matter with the New York Giants, and that's why drafting him is stupid, because they didn't have a roster to make a running back matter. They went and lost with that running back. Now he's with the Eagles, and now the league is having to pay for it. That's a bitter Cowboy fan, excuse me, player. That's a bitter Cowboy player who's mad that a great player is no longer with the lousy team that can't allow him to be great. That is, as you want to talk about indictments on the Giants organization, it's not about making the mistake and letting him go. It's not about how it affects the team moving forward, or that it shows stupidity, or that they'd be better off with him. It's not it. They wouldn't be better off with him. They're better off without him. Moving on from Saquon Barkley was the right decision. They're going to be better off for it. The indictment on the team is even with them, it can't help winning. It's helping the Eagles. It couldn't help the Giants because they're not good enough. That's the indictment. Not that they let him go. That wasn't the mistake. The mistake wasn't letting him go. The mistake was being the New York Giants and being unable to build a roster around him where he could impact winning on a real level. That's the mistake. And, you know, Micah Parsons is actually throwing out a very damning insult to the New York Giants. He's just doing it in a different way than he thinks he's doing it. Saying that they were stupid for letting him go, and what a big mistake. Not the problem. Not the problem at all. The problem is now Saquon Barkley's on a good team and you're noticing him. As a Cowboy, you didn't have to notice him. You didn't care about him. Because you could line up against the New York Giants and kick the crap out of them like you've done every single time you've ever put on a Cowboy uniform. Now you got to go play the Eagles with Saquon Barkley and you're like, damn, this is a problem. That's the issue with this entire thing. Saquon Barkley with the Giants isn't a problem. Glenn in Long Branch, what's up, Glenn?
G-Mac, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? How are you?
So, here's the thing. With the tanking. Yes. I went through this with the New Jersey Devils. You know, after Lou Lamoriello left that team, he left them nothing.
Right.
You know, when it gets to the point where you're hoping for them to lose, it's there's no sense in watching. Now,
it's soul sucking.
Yes, I stopped watching the Devils. I would look at the outcome the next day on my phone or whatever, right, in the newspaper, online. But you know what? As a fan, you have to watch. Well, for you, you have to watch the games because it's your job.
Yeah, well,
but think of it this way. You have 3 hours of your life.
Yeah,
you have 3, it's totally everything. But you have 3 hours of your life that you'll get back. Your wife will be happy. You can do stuff now. You don't have to watch these games.
Agreed.
Invested because it's physically impossible to sit there and watch your team and root for them to lose. It's impossible.
It is.
Don't even watch the game. Yeah, don't even watch them.
It's not outwardly rooting for them to lose, Glenn. I don't sit there and cheer good plays from and this is what a lot of people with the tank don't understand. There's a lot of different things about tanking that people don't understand. They think that I expect the players and the coaches to coach and play as if they want to lose. Clearly not. They're going to coach and play to win. I don't expect anything else, nor would I want anything else. But you can make decisions on who plays. Like that, you could bench the quarterback who gives you the best chance to win. You can, anybody who's banged up at all, give them a day off. Like there are start playing young players and get into evaluation mode. You don't have to put the best team forward. Once you're in there, the players who are playing have to play their best. When you're coaching the players who are on the field, you're coaching to make good plays and win and score and stop scoring. Like that's what, but you can make decisions on who plays that can impact tanking. But ultimately, I watched that game and football and hockey and for many reasons and any other sport, completely different. The difference between tanking for a football team and tanking for a hockey team are completely different. One, there's a lottery. You're not guaranteed. Now, yeah, I mean, theoretically, are you guaranteed more lottery balls and a better chance to get a top pick? Sure. But a lottery really hampers it. So it's not even the same as tanking because you're not guaranteed the better pick. The Giants, it's plain and simple. Lose the most games, first overall pick. Plain and simple. The more you lose, the higher the pick. There is no lottery. There is no other way around it. Lose more, better pick. Plain and simple. Clear cut. Nice and dry. And also, when you say watching it, hockey plays every other day. They have an 82-game schedule. Like, you can get by with hardly watching your hockey teams on an every night basis. It's not, every game's not as impactful as the once a week football game. It's very difficult to not watch your football team. There's only 17 of them. That's a month of hockey. This is a whole season of football, 17. That's like 1/7 or 1/6 the hockey season. That's the whole season for the football games. And plus, you all sit down and watch the games anyway. But I don't root. I wasn't sitting watching this game actively cheering for Carolina. I was getting annoyed with the Giants when they made bad plays. I was annoyed that Daniel Jones couldn't see the wide open receivers on the flea flicker. I was annoyed he throws that tip ball for the interception. I was annoyed he throws it behind Tracy for the interception. I was annoyed he sailed the first throw to Neighbors in the first drive of the game. I'm annoyed by it all. I'm annoyed by the whole thing. I'm not actively cheering. I'm watching the game without much investment on who wins and loses. And then at the end of the game, I'm hoping he makes the kick at the end of the game. That I'll give you. Carolina lines up for that kick in overtime. I'm hoping he makes it because it's better to lose the game. But like throughout the whole game, I'm not sitting there wearing a Carolina Panthers jersey rooting for every good play Carolina has or every bad play the Giants have. It's not like that. I watch it with indifference, hoping the outcome is what I want. That's it. It sucks. It's soul-sucking. It honestly is. It's ruined the entire football season for me. I don't like doing it. I could just say, hey, forget this. I'm not going to do this to myself. Let me just have a positive mindset, root for wins, and whatever happens, happens. It's probably a healthier way as a fan. I'll give you that. It's probably a healthier mindset. It'll probably make me enjoy Sunday more. But I want to win. I want to be a winning team. And I know what helps them in that department. Mike in East Rockaway. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Could you name somebody on the Jets that looked like they wanted to play that game?
No.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could name a player who wanted to play in that game.
Let me make a few points, if you don't mind. First of all, Sauce Gardner looks like he's playing tag football. He can't tackle at all.
No?
Way overrated. Our big savior, who was going to come in on his white horse and save the season and the team, he sucks too. And it looked like there was three offensive linemen against six the whole game. What's going on?
No, I mean,
is anybody preparing this team to play football?
I got to be honest with you, Mike. You're 100% right, and I am shocked. Shocked. I was shocked by the level of play from the Jets. I really was. If they would have lost last week to the Texans, I wouldn't have been shocked at this week's performance. But the fact that they rallied in the second half, Aaron Rodgers looked better, looked more mobile, made plays. They scored touchdowns. They had a great catch from Garrett Wilson. They on a fourth and third and short, or fourth and short, make the play to Devontae Adams for the touchdown. Like, they rally. They're down in the first half. They rally against a good, but injured Texans team. But that same Texans team turned around with the same injuries and took Detroit to the last seconds of the game. Like, that's a good win against a playoff team and probably a division winner last week after being down at the first half and not scoring. And to rally back, I thought that that would lead them at least into playing solid football. Did I think there was a chance that Arizona could play their best game and Murray could have a great game and beat them? Sure. Did I think they would lay down and the defense wouldn't show up? And they would put forth a display of tackling, the likes of which I don't know if I can remember in the NFL. No, that I did not see coming. I got to be honest, I was shocked by it. The offensive line didn't play well. Aaron Rodgers didn't play well. They did have moments there moving the ball, especially early. And then, you know, unable to get into the end zone. And then going for it on fourth down in the third quarter. And not getting that was really the end of the game. But yeah, no, as you called him, Soft Gardner, Sauce Gardner, that inability to make that tackle is going to be the poster boy of this season. Like, that picture of him wrapping up McBride way too high, trying to just spin him and throw him to the ground, and all you did was give him a head of steam running to the sideline so he had the ability to hurdle another defender. Like, it's just, it's hard to imagine how bad this was. What a miserable day. But ultimately, again, as I'm seeing Hoffman here, he was there, Pete Hoffman, the great producer of the Midday Show. He was there in Germany. He works for the Giants. I saw him making some videos which were way too close to his face. And he was walking around Germany. I mean, you go out there, you're looking for some fun in Germany. If you made the trip, I could understand being disappointed in that display of disgusting football they put forth. But you know what? The second the game ended, they're better off. And the only thing I'll say is, like, because the coach is going to get a lot of flack. The coach is going to get a lot of questions. And right now, it's hard to argue. They're in this rebuild. It's year three of the rebuild when you're supposed to be making inroads. Like, year three is supposed to be, all right, we're a winning team now. And year four, you're looking to compete for a Super Bowl. And instead, they're worse. They're as bad as ever. I'm sorry. And I know this is probably unfair to him, but Daniel Jones is bringing down the entire franchise. It's just plain and simple. The defense isn't very good. There's not a lot of talent. Granted, they've whiffed on draft picks. Evan Neal actually got a chance to play. Holy cow. Actually, in the first drive, Hyatt makes a catch. I couldn't believe it. Like, no doubt, there are missed picks. This roster is mismanaged in many ways. Given Daniel Jones a contract being the first and foremost, like, all of it, but a lot of it just falls back to Daniel Jones being completely inept, and it's driving the franchise down, and that's it. I'm telling you, I am on board with keeping Shane and Dable. I am. As crazy as that sounds, I still believe in them. I want to give them the young, talented quarterback if they can. I still believe in this group. I don't like firing the coaches year in and year out. I don't know who out there is better. I do think Dable can coach a little bit, but ultimately, if Daniel Jones takes another snap for the New York Giants, fire everyone.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.